Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Last week, people were freaking out about Roger Goodell. When's Roger Goodell going to say something? Well, if you know the way the deal works, Roger Goodell, every year on Wednesday, gives the proverbial State of the NFL Union address. And he had this to say earlier today on the missed call in the NFC Championship game.
It's a play that should be called. We're going to make sure that we do everything possible to address the issues going forward and see if there are improvements that we can make through instant replay or anything else. I understand the emotions, but I understand the stage, and I understand the importance of it to New Orleans and to this franchise and to the NFL. I made them aware of the fact that I was committed to doing everything possible to think outside the box and try to come up with solutions.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was also asked, you know, why he hasn't spoken about it. He's like, look, we called Sean Payton right after the game. Like, Al Riveron, who's in charge of the officials, called him right after the football game. Not the next day, not the next week. He called him right after the game. Matter of fact, before the press conference. Have you ever heard of that in sports? Ever? Like, all you ever want to hear is somebody go, my bad, we screwed up, right? And the NFL did that. Which only proves the point that I've had for a long time, which is you're literally in a no-win situation if you're the commissioner. Like people hate the commissioner for reasons basically because he makes a lot of money. And he makes a lot of money because people don't understand what his job is. His job is to make the owners a bunch of money and have a healthy league. And they do. He's got two teams that moved to L.A., both those teams had to pay relocation fees. He's got a team moved to Vegas. They got to pay a relocation fee. And guess what? You expand in the L.A. market. That helps the league. All of that money goes to the rest of the teams. Same thing with the Vegas money. And all that money is going to help pay off this concussion lawsuit, which came in light of $2 billion. Oh, then he expanded to Thursday Night Football. Then he split Thursday Night Football into two. And then when the ratings were down with NBC and CBS, he told Fox, hey, guess what? You can have it. You can actually pay more money. And they did. They gave him a better schedule. And guess what? It worked. Oh, and he's playing games overseas. Those are a success. Why? Because it's a new TV window that the TV affiliates don't get charged for. He's playing in Mexico City. Like, this dude's, because that's his job is the business side. And when there's an officiating call, he's got a guy for that who took the bullet for those officials and picked up the phone and called. And when it was the proper time to address it in public, he did. This is what we do. You know, we like our congressmen. We don't like Congress. We don't like any of the commissioners except for maybe Adam Silver, who people like, even though Adam Silver's league right now is being laughed at because you got a guy who's a star in the league who's a year and a half away from having his contract run out and he's demanding to be traded. Like, I thought Roger Goodell came out looking great. And then he pointed out, take a listen to Roger Goodell talking about the potential changes to officiating crews.
I don't think adding an official is an answer to all the issues, and to particularly this issue. We have evaluated an eighth official. It's on the competition committee agenda. It has been. And so we will explore that. But I think that in and of itself is not just going to be a simple, that will avoid all mistakes. Adding another, an eighth official is one more human that will make mistakes like all the rest of us.
When has another opinion ever made things easier? You tell me that time. Remember the dress thing on the internet? Was it blue or was it white or was it gold, right? Or something like that? Remember the dress thing? And the more people you asked, the more answers you got. And none of the answers were right. None of the answers were right. It's like this massive weather system which is going through the Midwest. Which, if you listen to us in the Midwest, God bless you. You know, like, sorry, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you are just tougher than us. Those of us who, the idea that you can't go to school because you're supposed to stay inside. Think about that. We live, people in this country live in parts of the planet where, you know what, it's so cold, just stay inside for the entire day. Is it snowing? Not really. Is it raining? No. Is it ice? No. It's just so damn cold, you cannot go outside. That's crazy. That's crazy. But if you asked 15 weathermen what one storm is going to do, you're going to get 15 different answers. So the idea of, hey, I got a solution here. Let's have another ref. That'll fix it. No, that's just another opinion. And you can say, well, it's another eye in the sky, and you can review things like judgment calls. But what happens when you review judgment calls? Guys are hesitant to make a judgment. You'll have the opposite of the intended effect. That's what always happens. Always. You know, one of the things that happens in the National Football League, if you watch the games, and this will happen in the Super Bowl some, it happens in college football. Have you noticed that no one blows the play dead anymore? Have you noticed that? You ever notice you're watching an NFL game, watching a college football game, and the guy gets up and keeps running, and then they'll, like, start blowing the whistle. Or maybe they don't. Do you know why nobody blows the whistle? Because they don't want to be the guy that blew it dead and then replay has them blowing it dead when the play wasn't dead. That's exactly what will happen if you add the ability to change judgment calls like pass interference. I told you last week, okay, how far back in the play can we go to see if a penalty was committed? Because a lot of the PIs, a lot of the defensive pass interference, the wide receiver runs a route. The wide receiver pushes off. The wide receiver then is open, and the defense closes the space that was created by the push-off. And we want to judge only the push-off. I mean, we want to judge only the last second of the play instead of the entirety of the play. So when can replay go back to? The start of the play or only the end when the penalty was called? And, oh, yeah, by the way, if you're going to wipe off penalty flags that are judgment calls in the game, you know what's going to happen? No one's going to call a penalty. Do you want to be the guy that throws the flag that gets picked up? Of course you don't. It's the same reason most people don't raise their hands when a teacher asks a question in class. You don't want to be the guy that gets it wrong. You don't want to be that guy. What's the capital of the state of California? You raise your hand, you're like, Los Angeles. Ha, 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 ha. Like, all right. How many of you remember it was Sacramento? Helena, Montana, right? Helena, Montana. Pierre was South Dakota. Is that right? South Dakota? I don't know. My point is, when has more ever been more? It's not. Less is more. And less is more is a cliche because it's overused. You know why it's cliche, it's overused? Because it's true. Hey, you know what? We haven't. What Roger Goodell said was, football game is played on a football field by people, and it's officiated by people. And people are imperfect. And what he should have said is, we have a really good game. And people search for perfection. It doesn't exist. And so, yeah, we screwed it up. But so did Sean Payton or Drew Brees not running the football on first down, second down, third down. Just take a knee, run the clock down, kick the field goal. Oh, yeah, by the way, you could have gotten a stop, and then you got the ball back at the start of overtime, and you could have not thrown a pick. And then you could have gotten a stop again, and you didn't. He didn't say all of that. He said, hey, we screwed up. We didn't wait. As soon as they ran off the field, Al Riveron, who's in charge, that's under his purview, not mine. It's his job, and he admitted mistakes so that when Sean Payton went to the dais, he could say, I just talked to Al Riveron, and they said they made a mistake. Have you ever heard that in the history of sports? Never. It's never happened in baseball. It's never happened in college basketball, college football, or NBA basketball. NBA basketball, they have the last two-minute report. It comes out like a day or two later. They have one official for both baseball and football, baseball, and basketball, who meets with the media after the game and says, you know, like the pool reporter, what did you see? But that's not even the end-all be-all. These reports usually come out a day or two later. The NFL was on top of it. And, yeah, it sucks. Sucks if you're a Saints fan. It does. It would have sucked to your Rams fan, and you had pass interference. You had a face mask on the call before that wasn't called. And Rams fans obviously don't have room to complain about it now because they're playing on Sunday. But, of course, nobody likes the commissioner because he makes a bunch of money because his league is an out-of-control freight train of success, and this is what we do. This is what we do.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I can't think of any more pressure on a kid than what Baker Mayfield has gone through, and he seems to thrive in a little bit of chaos, doesn't he? Right. From walking away from Texas Tech to Oklahoma and walking back on and then winning the job, winning a Heisman Trophy, being a finalist three times, beating for a national title, and then be the number one overall pick. He's supposed to be the savior in Cleveland. And they have a coaching change midseason and dysfunction within the offensive prep room, right? Dysfunction within, you got Todd Haley not getting along with Hugh Jackson, and they both get fired. And what did he do? He set the rookie touchdown record. How about that? Baker Mayfield joining us on behalf of Pepsi in the 2018 NFL Rookie of the Year Award. Baker, thanks so much for taking time. Dude, you won the Heisman Trophy. You get drafted first overall. You turn around the Browns. Your coach gets fired. Your offensive coordinator gets fired. What's this whirlwind been like for you?
It's exactly what you said, a whirlwind. A lot of things have happened, you know, in the past year and some change. It's been unbelievable, really, and it's been a dream come true. Trying to kind of look back on it now that I have a time to really breathe and be thankful for what I've been blessed with.
If you could go back and go, I want to mulligan on one thing, what would it be?
Ooh, there's too many to...
Just pick one.
It's got to be that last drive against the Ravens. You know, missing the out route to Jarvis on the inside and not converting on earlier down to be able to – we weren't in a situation where we had to go forward and fourth.
Okay. If there's one thing that you take great pride in that hasn't gotten its due, right? You had that really funny bit with Cooper Manning about the Bengal, right? Like, dude, I own that Bengal, right? I'm a Brown. I own the Bengal. That was awesome. There's other things that people – That you know that other people don't, that you wish people would recognize, what would it be?
I think, you know, how much fun I'm having with it. You know, I'm being myself, and like it or not, like, you don't have to like it. I'm not looking for approval, but I'm really living out a dream, and I truly believe that. And so I'm trying to enjoy every single day and trying to inspire others and, you know, have a you know, inspirational feel on other people and be a role model, you know, to – have a confidence level and just be yourself. Be proud of who you are. Don't be ashamed of it.
Did you read the Seth Wickersham article on what's gone on behind the scenes at the Browns the past couple of years and into this year?
I did not, but I was told by a lot of people what it was. They said it was pretty long.
And you're like, I'm done. I've done my studying. I'm good.
I'm there now. It's about what's going on right now. The past is the past, and for people to, you know, the past doesn't matter right now. It's about what we're going to do for the future and what we're doing right now.
Your new head coach was the interim offensive coordinator, but he was the running backs coach at the start of the year. Like you want to talk about an ascension. I mean, I don't know, between you starting as a freshman, as a walk-on at Tech, and a guy going from a running back coach to the head coach of the Browns.
Yeah.
when did you know, like, this dude can do it?
Just talking to him, seeing – you know, where he was at mentally. You know, he was the QB coach in Arizona, and so when I had conversations with him, he was very smart, knew a ball, obviously, but then how he was able to relate to all the guys, get them to believe themselves, and just get everybody on the same page. And so I think that was the most important thing, and I was most impressed with that. Was he went from, obviously, that running back job where he was only affecting, what, 3-4 guys, and then he came the offensive coordinator, and he had the whole thing, and then now he's the head coach. It's just how he's able to adapt, but still be that same person, still be that same guy that everybody believes in, don't change, and he is that guy.
Chubb told us, he said, you get on him because he's so country, right?
He is from Alabama.
Yeah, that you just you ride him how country is.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't
have
to change. But that's kind of what you talked about, and it's kind of one and the same with. Can you be a quarterback and talk trash to the other team? Can you be – because, like, no one does that.
I mean,
and
have
no
you
one
watched Philip Rivers ever play? I mean, like, everybody acts like what I do is so jaw-dropping. I mean, you watch some of these guys, you got to be a competitor out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch Tom Brady. He's very competitive. You know, everybody expresses it different ways, but I am who I am, and that's how I express it. I'm going to let you know that I want to beat you. Obviously, that's everybody's goal is to win, but I'm going to make it loud and clear. I'm going to try and get in your head, and I'm still going to do my job on the side. And I think that's what everybody's worried about is quarterbacks normally don't talk trash because they have their job to worry about.
Right.
But I've been able to do it to where I can talk trash and then still get my job done. And I think, you know what, if there comes a time where I'm not getting my job done, I won't be talking.
Kyler now is considering football, right? And like he took what you did and then by some people's estimation maybe even topped it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That dude's a freak. But people said that you're small. Tyler is really small. So what do you think that the challenges are for him at the level that you now know and you've now played at?
Finding windows to throw. But, you know, I said it last year when I was going through the draft process. We had an NFL-sized offensive line. So throwing over people, finding windows is something that we had to adapt to and we're used to. He's been doing it his whole life. And when it comes down to it, people can say what they want. The kid can – he'll time out at a 4.3 in the 40 if he runs it.
Yeah.
He's strong, really strong, great leader, and he's a winner most importantly.
An NFL GM told me, he said, look, he's Doug Flutie with Mike Vick's athleticism.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's – that's true.
Yeah, and I also said that, and he also, and I've been now people are starting to come around to it. I want you to know I was the first to go like, hey, the whole baseball thing, you get paid some money up front, but you don't make real money until like year five or six. Whereas if you're draft, if he's a first round pick,
yeah,
he gets money right away, and he's a pro right away, and he starts that clock towards that second contract.
Exactly, but it's not even about the contract thing. To me, it's about, you know, him wanting to play football, him wanting to do that. He's passionate about both, but. Riding around in a minor league bus around the country doesn't sound very fun. And I think that's what it comes down to for him is being able to compete and live out his dream, and I think that's playing in the NFL.
What's the secret sauce for turning, going from almost winning to winning? Obviously, there was a coaching change. But, like, look, when you got there, there's always this sense of the Browns are going to screw it up, right? The Browns always lose.
Hey,
and then you
on.
Got to – no, but that's what it was when you got there, right? You won one game and two. And then at the start of the season, you should have – first game of the year, you should have won,
yeah.
Right? And you're sitting there like, they're the Browns. They still can't kind of figure out. What's the secret? How did you turn that from expectations being something bad would happen to expectations being something good would happen? Because that's what happened in the middle of the season, even more so than the coaching change.
Well, it wasn't just me. We had the right pieces. We just needed guys to believe in it, you know, to trust each other and to, you know what, realize what we had in the locker room and just come together. And I think that was the most important thing was you could feel the energy before the season within the locker room. Guys realizing, all right, we got some key players, we got all this, and let's put it together. And just, you know, finding ways to win is the most important when people haven't done it in a long time. And then building consistency.
Do you feel any sorrow at all for putting my boy Cowherd in a body bag?
Absolutely not.
None?
None
at all. Baker Mayfield joining us. He's up for the Pepsi Rookie of the Year. Finalist, he, Nick Chubb, Philip Lindsay, Darius Leonard, Saquon Barkley. No Derwin James, who also could be on this list. To live up to the hype, like you're a number one pick, and many people, I thought Sam Darnold would go one overall.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on this list. To live up to it, that has to for a guy who loves to prove people wrong. You're proving the Browns right, aren't you, by being on this list?
You know what, I set my own expectations, and so that's the most important thing for me. You know what, I'm glad they took a chance and believed in me, and so for me now, being able to do that for them, and then. I got to take the next step. You know, I'm not satisfied with what we've done. We didn't even have a winning record. But, you know, there's change being made, and that's the positive thing to look at. And so we got to build on that and keep going and keep going.
What's the one thing you have to do to improve?
Take care of the ball and just put us in a good position to win every game.
Man, an unbelievable year. Unbelievable, and you seem to be having a lot of fun with
it,
which is what it's all about. Like, if I was in your position, like, you know what, dude? I'd be having a lot of fun with it as well. Can't wait to see
that.
The next photo spread.
Thanks
for joining us.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
It's an honor to be joined by the guy who, maybe until Sam Darnold, even with Sam Darnold, was the best Orange County prospect to make it in college and the National Football League. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's Carson Palmer. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. And Carson, obviously, oh, I forgot, I mentioned Berline. You know, Marinovich, a little bit older than me, flamed out. Matt Leinart didn't have the pro career. He had the great college career. Like, that fair?
Sanchez came out of Orange County.
Yeah. He did go to two AFC championship games, but, like, yeah.
Who else? Yeah, there's a lot of California quarterbacks, not as many as you'd expect out of Southern California. I mean, you go up north, you got Brady, you got Elway. There's a handful of other guys. But, yeah, there's not a ton out of Southern California, like there should be, right?
Do you miss
Shouldn't
it?
Shouldn't there be more? I miss very few parts and very few pieces, but I'm really enjoying retirement.
I have heard, so I've done shows with TJ Houshmandzadeh, and he says Carson Palmer is the biggest Hunter Fisher you've ever seen. Like, that's what you're into. That's your jam, right? Didn't you guys, I don't want to say the location, but you guys bought a place in one of the beautiful climates in the...
I live in Idaho.
Okay.
I
didn't want to give it away, right?
Okay. I live in Idaho. I'm on a river. I fly fish as much as I have four kids, so that takes up a good chunk of life. But I love fly fishing. I'm addicted to fly fishing, I think. I've actually was thinking about it right before I came on the show, what part of the river I was going to hit when I get back home. But I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love being outside.
How did this happen? Okay, you grew up, for people who are like, listen, you grew up in
Southern California?
Mission Viejo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Mission Viejo is great suburb. If you're going down I-5 to San Diego, it's like smack dab in between L.A. and San Diego.
No fishing, no hunting.
And, like, look, you can go to the mountains or you can go on a hike or whatever.
Yeah.
So when was the first time you went fly fishing?
Well, I grew up going to Idaho with a buddy of mine, Sugar Rowe, and his family had a place in Idaho. And so that was my first fly fishing experience. But I really got into being in the outdoors when I played in Cincinnati. I lived kind of in the middle of nowhere. I had a bunch of woods in my backyard, had no idea what I was doing. A buddy of mine who I played with, Doug Johnson, he played quarterback at Florida and then played for the Bengals for a couple of years. He took me hunting. And
what, when you went hunting the first time, deer hunting?
Deer hunting.
Yeah.
I'm Black sitting in a deer stand.
Or rifle?
No, bow.
Okay.
I've never shot a bow. He doesn't tell me anything. I'm sitting in a tree stand for an hour,
it's like
2 hours.
It's 6 in the morning. It's cold.
It's cold. I'm sitting in a tree stand. I'm moving around. I'm looking for deer. I'm like, dude, I don't see any deer. We get back to the truck. I'm like, don't take me on that again. He's like, well, what were you doing? I was like, I was sitting up. He's like, no, you can't move. You have to sit still. So sure enough, we go the next day off during the season. You have Tuesdays off. So he takes me Tuesday. I'm sitting in a tree stand. I'm doing everything he told me to do. And sure enough, this massive 10-point buck walks out. And my heart almost popped out of my chest. I almost fell out of the tree, and I was addicted ever since. So
did you shoot the
10-point duck? No, because I didn't know. I hadn't shot the bow. So I didn't really know, like, how to lock. He just kind of, it's like.
I know. No, listen, I had the same experience with my father-in-law when I'm at Oklahoma State. And he's like, well, you want to go for deer hunting? And the first time I fell asleep in the tree stand, I was, like, bored.
Yeah.
You know, he gives you a cup of coffee. You know, and you drink a cup of coffee. He's like, oh, you can't have coffee because of the smell.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put deer scent stuff on your shoes or whatever. I'm up in a tree stand. I'm freezing cold. I'm like, this sucks. And then, yeah, you
until
do see
a deer walks out.
Okay, but I had a gun with me, which is a really bad idea. So when did you go in and did you now I'm going to start practicing with the bow?
Well, what I tell people is, you know, you got it or you don't got it. So when that deer walks out, if you're like, oh, cool, there's a deer, you don't got it. But when that deer walks out and your chest starts pounding,
yes,
and your knees start quivering, and then you have to draw the bow in your arms, that's when you know I have the bug. I love this. I enjoy it. My kids love it. I take them. We'll harvest a deer. We'll make burgers. We'll make loins. We'll make pork chops. We'll make jalapeno poppers. They love eating venison. We'll go duck hunting. We eat duck. We'll cook the duck. I'd catch and release fish.
I have a buddy, by the way, who has the greatest duck hunting cabin.
Where? Arkansas?
It's in Kansas, but right near the Arkansas. He's an Arkansas guy, but it's in Parsons, Kansas. And I'll hook you up.
Yeah, I need that hookup.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's one text away.
Okay.
He's taking a lot of guys that he has no idea about sports either. So he's not going to ask you about Kimo Van Olhoffen or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Ideal scenario, right?
Right?
There. Yeah,
it's an amazing dude. You'll love it. Okay, so that's what happened to Carson Palmer. I'm watching Tom Brady and he's going to his ninth, and that should, on some form or fashion, that should be me.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's Sunday. I watch football on Sundays and I watch college football now, which I never watched college football when I was playing because you're always traveling. You're going to the team hotel.
You want
to
coach
meetings.
At SC?
Not want to coach. I absolutely not want to hunt and fish. And hunting and fishing does not coincide with football.
Yeah.
So, No, I mean, I watch it. I miss Sundays. I miss the challenge and the expectation and the pressure being the franchise quarterback. I do miss that. But I don't miss the off-season training. I really don't miss being in the gym. I have not been in the gym since I stopped playing. And as you get older, and Tom Brady is a perfect example, you end up spending 5, 6, 7 hours of your day preparing your body for the upcoming season. I don't miss that. I got really tired of being in the gym and working out and preparing to play at 35 and 38 and as my career went on. So I really got burnt out on that side of it. And that's one of the things that blows you away about Brady is he enjoys it still. At some point, the burnout's going to happen or his body's just going to give out. But that's the part that I don't miss. I don't miss getting hit. I don't miss the way I would feel on Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, getting ready to play that next Sunday game. But there's no doubt I miss the Sundays.
And your career trajectory might have been different if the rules, you know, which is kind of the Brady rule, right? He got rolled up on it, but that was after you got rolled up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they can't hit guys below the leg. People remember you signed the huge contract with Cincinnati. You're playing the Bengals at home, right? Like, yeah. That's how good you guys were. You had a home game against the Steelers in the playoffs, and he rolls up on your knee. Like, you never spend any time going, like, my career trajectory would be different if the rules were than what they are today.
I don't play that game. You know, you
how do you do that? How do you not? How do you have the balance in your life? I guess that's an Idaho thing.
No,
that
I mean,
go fly fishing and you have no issues at all with the world.
Hey, some guys win 5 or 6 Super Bowls. Some guys don't win any. I'm the latter. You know, would I have loved to have won multiple Super Bowls or just one? Absolutely, without a doubt. But I don't ever look back and play the coulda, woulda, shoulda game because you're just going to drive yourself nuts. I was blessed to play for 15 years. I played with some great guys. I played for some awesome coaches. You know, I look back and I enjoyed it. I put everything I could have possibly put into it, so I don't have any regrets in that regard. Do I regret not winning a Super Bowl? Absolutely, but I gave it my all, and it didn't work out.
Carson Palmer joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned the guys you played with, and there's a variety of them, right? From Larry Fitzgerald, who the guy could run for governor and win, guy could run for commissioner, and they'd boot Goodell in a second, right? He's that beloved.
The best.
Then to, like, TJ, who grows up as, like, a hood rat and becomes a stud, to Chad, who's a nut but freaky talented. So when I watch Brady, I think the other question is, how does he relate? Like, look, dude, you grew up in Orange County. And, you know, you went to a great school, you went to a prestigious college, and then, you know, you're the franchise quarterback with the Bengals and then became with the Cardinals. How did you manage to relate to guys that came from such different backgrounds?
Well, you can't, and you never will. You don't know what – I didn't know what it's like to grow up the way TJ did or the way hundreds of teammates did. I knew what it was like to grow up my way. But I think what the ultimate thing that comes into play is just respect. I respected – there's always guys you don't respect,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I respected most of the teammates I ever played with, and I think most of them respected me, and the way I earned respect was work. Always being the first guy at the stadium, always, you know, guys are coming in right before team meeting, and I've already worked out or I've already watched film, and being the last guy. So you don't relate. The only thing you can relate with guys on the same level of is respect, and the respect you give them, the respect they give you, and the only respect – the only way to get respect from them is by your work ethic. It's not from how I grew up or how tough I had it at age 10 or 15 or whatever it is. It's just about respect.
You mentioned Fitz and how he's the best. What is it about him that makes him the best?
Well, his God-given ability is half of it, and it's only half of it. I mean, his ability to run routes and his physical, the way he plays – his hands.
He also moved on the inside with you.
He went inside.
Whereas, like a lot of guys with their ego, like, hey, moving inside,
he
right?
Inside and blocked linebackers. He blocked Cam Chancellor over and over again. I mean, so half of it is what he did on the field that was given to him by God. The other half was the teammate that he was, the leader that he was. All the years he played on really bad teams and never griped about it, never complained about it. And it never changed his performance or his work ethic. He continuously, whether we were going to the NFC Championship or 2-14 or whatever they were this year, he continuously showed up to work and continuously prepped and got himself ready to play and performed. So half of it's God-given. The other half is just simply the guy understands how to be a pro. He understands how to be a great teammate and a great leader.
What about Tom Brady? You mentioned that Sundays you watch football. What about Tom Brady allows him? You've mentioned the preparation. When you see him play, what about him separates him from so many others?
Well, I think a big thing being playing for a great organization, a great owner, and a great head coach is huge. And those are
you didn't always
huge.
Have that. That benefit at
but he's had continuity at the yes. offensive coordinator position, the same head coach, the same owner, who just wants to win, which is a huge portion of it, and the biggest portion of it is the owner is willing to do what it takes to win. So that's a big part of it. But one of the things I think that's most amazing to me about Brady is the conditions he's done it in. It's hard to throw it in wind. It's hard to throw it in constant rain, snow, sleet, whatever it is. I mean, going to the Meadowlands for all those years. Now he got to go to Tampa or to Miami, where the yeah. weather was good.
Yeah, but other than that, Buffalo and New England,
and the numbers he's put up, and you know, it is. People don't get now that I'm watching football on TV.
Yeah.
People don't realize how hard some of these conditions are. Those conditions in Kansas City, I mean, 25 an hour gusts. That's hard to cut. It's hard to cut the ball through the wind and cut it accurately in the wind. When the wind's behind you, when it's a side wind, I mean, all the different things that have come up, he's done it year after year after year, and not playing in a dome like Manning and Breeze have.
Sure.
In perfect conditions. You know, 90% of the games he's played in have been in inclement weather, which is hard to do, especially as you get older and you lose some of the zip and some of the velocity on your ball. It's hard to still cut it through the wind, but he's consistently done it year after year.
What do you think of golf?
I think, obviously, he's a great player. I think things are going to get really interesting in 2021. Once they have to pay him 15% of the salary cap, and you don't have, you know, Cooper Kupp on a rookie deal anymore, you don't have don't have the money to pay Todd Gurley's, Andrew Whitworth's,
Ndamukong Suh,
Peters. I mean, once it's all on his shoulders and he's taken up, you know, 15 or 20% of the salary cap, and it's all on him, it's going to be interesting. But he's in a great spot right now where he's still on his rookie deal and they can pay all those players around him.
I want to get to the FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Player of the Year Awards, which recognize quarterback running back performances of the 2018 season in a second. But we started with fly fishing. Let's end with fly
yes,
fishing.
Yes, always.
Okay? So
I like coming on your show, man. This is great.
Okay, cool. So, but anyone I know who's done it, like, they're just like, you don't get it. Okay, so what is it about it? Like, so I've seen a river runs through it, right?
Okay.
And so you're looking for like a ripple where
I look a lot like Brad Pitt when I'm on the water.
Yeah.
That's one thing I do. But people,
well, you have the great beard. You still have great hair, right? You got quarterback
that.
Hair, which appreciate is really
that.
Remarkable.
Yeah, it's going the opposite direction.
Yeah, you know, there's some other guys that have worse. Yours truly included. Okay, so tell me the process of it.
I like, so in the summer I don't wear waders. I just put on swim trunks, and fly fishing boots, which are felt tips, so they grab the rocks, but. There's nothing like walking out the backyard, opening up the gate, and just looking to the right and looking to the left and figuring, do you want to go downstream or upstream?
What's the difference?
Nothing.
Okay,
but it's
so,
just
so then what are you looking for in the water to know where to cast?
Well, I'm getting to the point where I know where my holes are, where the holes that are holding fish. And
so there's certain areas that always hold fish within the river.
There's certain areas that typically hold more fish. Now, crazy things happen and they take off and they go somewhere else and you're trying every fly in your fly box and you can't catch one. But I get out to the water, I look downstream, I look upstream, I make a decision. I don't have my cell phone on me. There's nobody around me.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of nature. I'm looking at the mountains around me, these huge, massive mountains and pine trees and the rivers roaring and you start casting. I don't even have to catch fish. I just like trying to put my fly right there, 26 yards away, right behind that rock, right in front of that tree
it's
limb.
It's like throwing a football.
It's like throwing, it's an accurate thing. And yeah. I like just casting. I like being out there. There's no, my kids aren't around. Sometimes
like
my
kids
are around.
Do you have like an indoor casting thing? Something down in the basement for the winter months.
Do you know somebody that sells one?
I don't know. I just know that golf guys have like the golf simulator. I just didn't know if there's a fly fishing simulator yet.
No, but they do have an indoor bow range that you. It's actually like it's kind of like a golf simulator, a bow, at a screen that has you know videos of different animals. It's pretty cool.
He's got the fever. He's got it bad. FedEx Air nominee Player of the Year, mm-hmm. Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers. Rivers still doing it.
Still doing it.
Still doing it and still popping out more kids.
Yeah.
Right? Like you got four. He's got eight.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids.
That's no chance he knows all their names.
No.
No chance.
Or their birth dates.
And then the ground nominees for Player of the Year, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley. Awesome to have you. Great to catch up. And
Make sure you log on and vote. You can vote on the Twitter NFL.
Hashtag Aaron Ground.
Hashtag Aaron Ground.
Are you big on
NFL.com? I'm not big on Twitter at all. But you can also vote on NFL.com /FedEx. Voting ends tomorrow. I get to hand the award out at the honors show on Saturday night. I voted for Patrick Mahomes and Ezekiel Elliott. We'll see who wins.
All right, so you'll be there Saturday night. You'll be at the awards.
I'll be at the
Sunday,
awards
you going to the game?
Sunday, I'm on a flight back to Idaho.
When will you be fishing or hunting? Sunday afternoon?
No. I'm going to watch the game Monday. Right now, it's cold. Right now, it's 25, 22 degrees. So
right.
I got to hit. There's an hour or two where it's the warmest. That's when fish are feeding. I will be on the river at 1, 2 o'clock.
Carson Palmer, he's doing okay for himself post-football. Thanks so much, dude.
Thanks, Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.